You ready for the word? Are you ready for the word? Let's lift our hands together and say, our Father, in the name of your Son Jesus, in this service, we welcome the Lordship of the written word above our emotions, above our thoughts. Together as a church, we behold Jesus Christ, your Son, even as he sees us in him. He is glorified and we are edified. Amen. Matthew's Gospel 28. So today we'll come to closure of a sort, conclusion in a way, continue it later though, on finding God's direction in a simple way. Verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always to the end. So we said that Jesus is teaching from Genesis to where? Come on, talk to me. Genesis to Malachi. That's the material. That's the book. That's the reference point. It's not teaching from Matthew, definitely. Hallelujah. It's not teaching from Ephesians. It's not teaching from Colossians. It's teaching from the Old Testament. Luke's Gospel 24. 25 says, when he met his friends on the road to Emmaus, Cleopas, one of them, he said to them, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And begin at Moses and all the prophets. Moses and all the prophets, verse 27. He expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself, which means that this encounter was a teaching, the Matthew 28, 18 to 20 encounter, was a teaching about Jesus from the law of Moses and the prophets. In verse 44, then he came and spake unto them, saying, Luke 24 again, these are the words which I said to you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. So that shows you again the background of the teaching. In verse 45, then he opened the understanding that he might understand the scriptures. Then verse 46, thus it is written, and be of Christ to suffer, and then rise again the third day, and then repentance, 47, and remission of sin shall be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses unto these things. In verse 48, he says, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. 49, but tarry, city of Jerusalem, to be endued with power from on high. So Jesus, as we have studied, embodies the God of the Old Testament. We don't try to fit Jesus into God. No. He is God, so we walk our way from the Old Testament into the person of Jesus. We've done that study. When it says, lo, I am with you. Now, there are two words in Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20 we must pay attention to. It says, make disciples, the word mathetes, which means to be a follower, a learner. A follower, a learner, someone who is learning and teaching. Let me say this very quickly. I know I taught this on Wednesday already. I know not everybody's around Wednesday, but you get to hear it. That everything God leads us to do is according to his own plan. Somehow we have been taught to find out how God agrees with our plans. And we call it, God is leading me. But see, God's plan for the earth, for the church, is why he leads anybody. And so when it says, lo, I'm with you. So two words in there. Number one, you are a learner. Say, I am a student. How about that? How about those of you who have graduated over 40 years ago? And I'm asking you, say, I am a student. You're a professor. So say, I'm a student. You know, that's quite a strong word. But you are a student of the word. Make disciples of every nation. In verse 20 says, lo, I am with you, which is the word orahu. Look at it very well. I am with you. And the word I am there is a very Old Testament word for God. Yahweh, ego am I. Avha, or Iha. I am with you always. Exodus 3:14. He says, what name do I say you are? He says, say that I am that I am. And I will be what I will be. Tell them the I am sent you. If you take that in the Hebrew and come to the Greek, what you will come out with is ego am I. I am with you. The same word. So in Matthew 18:20, when it says, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am. The King James says, there am I. It's wrong. It's there I am. Ego am I. Remember, in Genesis 49, when it says, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, 49 is verse 10. It says, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, unto him shall the gathering. Genesis 49:10. So when it says, I am in the midst of them, Jesus yet confirms who he is. The ego am I, the Ahia, the Yahweh. So what that means in Exodus 6 and 2, I am Yahweh. I am that I am, and I'll be what I'll be. By my name, Almighty, was I known to your father, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but not by my name, Yahweh. Now, so the first thing is to realize that God is not leading us differently today than he led Israel then. I believe that by next week or so, we're going to have published the series we teach on Wednesday. What we teach on Wednesday, taking spirit-led decisions. And they're going to work together with this particular series. So I'm going to advise that as soon as we're done with that, and this is also going to be available, I believe, this week, make sure you listen to both. They work together for your good. Is that very clear? Okay, good. So it's not the same thing now in there, but they work together. So, which means he's not leading us any differently than he led Israel. So, when it says, I am that I am and I'll be what I'll be, we looked at that word, I am and I'll be. And we found it in Genesis 1, verse 2, where he says, the Spirit of God, Ruach, the Ruach of God, that is the unseen part of God, or God who is not seen, moved upon the face of the waters. Then he said, let there be light. In other words, I am light. And he says, I am light. Light be. That's the word, light Yahweh. Or, like David said, the Lord is my light. Why did he say that? Genesis 1:3. And that's not the sun, moon, and stars. It's also not PHCN light. Hallelujah. The Lord is my light and my salvation. So when you say God is light, it means God is salvation. So Genesis 1:3 is salvation. So he is light. Say he's light. Say he's life. Very good. Genesis 2:18. It is not good that man should be alone. Let us make an help meet. I showed you two words. The word eged. Hope I got right. Yeah. A help meet. Now when you say meet, is before him. In other words, one who will go ahead of him. Help, Ezar. We've studied that word, Ezar. Ezar is someone who delivers you out of trouble. So he's light, he's life, he's the spirit, he's the helper. What else? Genesis 2:24, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. We said that word there again is one spirit. Ikad, one spirit. So here is God is all that he, or all, let me put it like this. God is all that we need. So we have studied the import of God leading us. We said he is forever married to us. He is joined with us. 1 Corinthians 6:17. If you are joined to the Lord, you are what? You are what? One spirit with him. So we're married in God. He's married to us. And the children of that marriage, Hebrews 13:4, are undefiled. Undefiled. We've said that. So, the clearest thing you should know for at this point is that you can't make God lead you. That is his word. You can't make God lead you. You can't pray for God to lead you. That's a wrong prayer point. That's a wrong prayer point. Oh God, speak to me. Oh God, speak to me. Oh God, speak to me. So people go fasting and praying. Fasting and praying are legitimate spiritual things. But don't do it for the wrong purposes. Fasting and praying. And he says, God, talk to me. God, talk to me. I'm confused. I'm confused. God, talk to me. We said, no. His leading is his promise. His leading is his covenant. His leading is his own work. He's committed to do it. So, what is therefore my responsibility? Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Because when we teach our privileges in Christ, without teaching our responsibilities in Christ, the privileges will have no bearing in our lives. For example, a very fundamental way of exercising believers' authority is prayer. If you don't pray, you'll just be hearing about believers' authority, and that's all. It's prayer. So if you know about your privileges, they are only effective with responsibility. So we must therefore ask ourselves, what then is my part? Number one, we have said God does not depart, right? Right? He doesn't leave. He doesn't abandon. He's stuck with you forever. Born again, he's stuck with you. He gave you his word. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Hebrews 13, verse 5 and 6. So that you may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear what man will do to me. So what then is my responsibility? That takes us back again to what he said to Israel. Because we said, Romans 8, 14, as many as are led by the Spirit, is the Exodus narrative. Taken from the world into kingdom of God. Taken from the flesh to the Spirit, taken from darkness to light. So, what is my duty? Exodus 20 verse 8. Are you there? Come on guys, are you there? I think you're not in this. Are you in this service? Exodus 20. And verse 8. Those of you taking notes, I believe everybody should. Make sure that when you get home, this is how I study. I take notes a lot. In fact, in the last service, I asked one of us here to help, to remind me of something that I took note of on the pulpit. And I mean, I got into my room there, I put it down. That's the way I study a lot. I put down notes a lot. I have a particular profile on my phone where what I put in there are things that come during the day as I meditate on God's word. I write down a lot. So I print it out. Printed format and go through it. Begin to make notes. So when I see people that don't take notes, I kind of think you are a new creature. All things are really passed away. Because I think that's just the right attitude. You know, learn to take notes, learn to put things down a lot, a whole lot. Then, what I wanted to say is, don't put it on the table and pick it up next week. It becomes useless. As I get home, I go through it. That's the first thing I have to do. Hallelujah. God, do that immediately. Some of you write a lot of notes, but that's all. Some people forget their notes in church. Jesus. In the church. Some of you, your notes for 2017 are still here. You are really growing. Why do you write something you're not going to look at? I have notes that I've kept for 25, 26 years. Notes. My house is full with notes. You got to be diligent. That's how you do it. You got to be diligent. Take notes a lot. Don't go to church without a note. That's irresponsible. That's me, oh, me, you know, I'll say it the way it is. It's irresponsible. Take notes. Because you are listening to the words of life. And I told you, it's pride that makes you feel, I already know it. That's pride. Pride. It's pride that will make you quote a scripture before the preacher is finished. I used to do it before. In my foolishness. See, I've called myself foolish, have you? Uh-huh. So we are working together. Praise the Lord. All right, where were we? So what exactly were they meant to do in God leading them? Exodus 20, verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Sabbath simply means to be done. I'm going to teach you about the Sabbath very soon. It's a very key concept of the Old Testament. The Sabbath very soon. It's to be done. Now, we think Sabbath means don't do anything. No. Sabbath actually is the commencement of work. Commencement of work because the work has been done. Interesting, right? So, he says, remember. That's the word. Remember. Now, when I say remember in today's language, I remember you. I remember I went to see one of my teachers in primary school. My favorite teacher, actually. I met her one day, Mrs. Oreolu Lawyer. She was my class teacher. You know, and I was one of her favorite students. So I saw her. She said, I described one incident. I won't tell you what it was. She said, I was ready to go and say, naughty boy. This was a few years ago. I remember you. It's me. You know, that means she forgot. So she remembered. Now, that is not the remember of scripture. No. It's not you forgot, now remember. No. Go to Genesis chapter 8 verse 1. So that you will know it is not to bring back a forgotten knowledge. Are you there? We're going to read this text together. Okay? So, get your Bible ready. I know some of you are used to Bibles being on the projector. It will never happen in this church. Okay? If there's persecution and they ban Bibles from our phones, we will still not put it on anything. We expect you to have it on your heart. Hope you have heard me. It's not wrong, go. Don't misquote me. We don't just do it here. So bring your Bible here. If it's on your phone too, you can dial with it. Okay, verse 1. And God remembered Noah. See it? God remembered Noah. Did God forget? And God said, there's one guy. Noah. No. Genesis 9:15. I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you. I will remember. Verse 16. I will look upon it that I may remember. I will look upon it that I may remember. Genesis 19:29. It came to pass when God destroyed the cities of the plain and God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow and overthrew the cities of which the Lord dwelt. Now that word God destroyed is something you need to understand what it means. So if you have not bought Understandest Thou What Thou Readest, Volume 3, and this is our God series. Go and get the book and read it. Alright. Okay. We read then let's go to Genesis 30, verse 22. And God remembered Rachel and hearkened to her and opened her womb. So you can see the word remember has to do with an action. Okay? Genesis 40, verse 14. Now, people usually assume that, let's take verse 14. When Joseph interpreted the dreams, and then he said, think on me when it shall dwell with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention. That's the word. Make mention. That word make mention is the word remember. Make mention of me unto Pharaoh and bring me out of his house. Verse 23. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. Now, it doesn't mean that, how can you not remember him? He did it. It doesn't, how can you were thinking you were going to die. Even if you are the devil, you will not forget that somebody interpreted a dream for you. But he forgot there means he did not talk about him. And there are people like that. You won't hear it again. God helped me through people. I'm a product of people's support and help. I can't but talk about them. Some of them are even late. They're no longer alive. So they're not hearing what I'm saying in that sense. But I talk about it. Because it is true. Some folks are just like that. You won't hear it again from them. So this guy was like that. He did not remember. He didn't talk about it. Genesis 41. Are you learning something? Verse 9. Then spake the chief butler unto Pharaoh, saying, I do remember my faults this day. I do remember my faults. Genesis 42, verse 9. Joseph remembered the dreams which he dreamed of them, and said unto them, you are spies to see the nakedness of the land you have come. Exodus 6 and 5. Exodus 6 and 5. I've heard the groanings of the children of Israel whom the Egyptians kept in bondage or keep in bondage. I have remembered my covenant. Exodus 13 verse 3. Exodus 13 verse 3. Remember this day in which you came out from Egypt. Now it's not that they forgot. It just happened. How can you tell them to remember what just happened? Or what was just happening? So it's not saying, remember, imagine, if I get you into your house now, into my house, and I tell you, remember my house. You say, I'm just entering it. So the remembrance is not something you forgot, then your memory brought it back. No. It means keep it in your mind and keep it in your words. Hallelujah. So when you say God remembered Noah, it means God spoke about him. Is that very clear? It means he spoke about him. Keep it in your mind. Keep it in your words. Keep it in your mind and keep it in your words. Exodus 20. What are they meant? Okay, verse 8 first. Remember the Sabbath day. When it said remember the Sabbath day, that you keep it holy, let me mention something very quickly for you. This is a bit of another kind of study. As at the day, he said, now the word Sabbath day is not in Genesis at all. It's not, Abraham didn't talk about it, Noah didn't talk about it, Isaac didn't talk about it, Jacob didn't talk about it, Joseph didn't talk about it. So they never had days they used to celebrate. But when they got to Egypt, children of Israel, they had what is called the Shabbat, where they believed that the deities, alright, you have to go and serve the deities, go and worship the deities, where the deities will rest. Now, Moses brings a counter narrative and says, our own Shabbat is where God, alright, has finished his work, and then begins the work of salvation in the earth. So, it becomes, again, the exact opposite of idol worship. So when he says, remember, the first thing he told them to not forget is in verse 2, they have been delivered from bondage. Then they ought to worship God. Then, in 24, it says, an altar of the earth thou shalt make unto me, and thou and shalt sacrifice there on my burnt offerings and thy peace offerings, thy sheep, thine oxen, in all places where I record my name, I will come to thee and bless. Where I record, to record it. So when he says, remember the Sabbath day, what Moses is saying, God has a new creation. Don't forget it. Let it be on your mind. God has a new creation. Genesis 2, verse 1 to 3. God has a new creation. I know the earth is our form and void. I know we have idol worship. We have sinners. But the Spirit of God is overing, and the light of God is going to burn in the nations of the earth. Remember that. Keep it in your words. Keep it in your mind. Exodus 13 again, verse 3. Remember this day in which you came out from Egypt, out of the bondage. Remember this day. For by the strength of the hand of the Lord brought you out from the place, there shall be no living bread be eaten. Remember this. Remember. Exodus 12, 42. Observe all the children of Israel in their generations. Observe it. That means don't forget it. Deuteronomy 16, verse 2. Deuteronomy 16, verse 2. Are you learning something? All right. Sorry, verse 12. Sorry for that. Thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in Egypt. Thou shalt observe and do this statute. You shall remember. So remember means to observe, to keep in your words and in your deeds. So the word remember is an action word in what you say and in what you do. It's not passive. So, in the leading of God's Spirit, we have things to keep in our minds and things to say. Which means the plan of salvation or the gospel should always be on my mind and also in my speech. Remember God's work of the new creation. Remember, I told you I'm going to talk about the Sabbath later, but I give you a hint. The Sabbath in Genesis 2, 1 to 3 is God finished it and the host thereof. And then he entered into his rest. Hebrews 4, 3 says that is the rest of the gospel. So, if I am going to be led by the Spirit of God, what should I keep in mind always? God's plan for the earth, right? So which means that God is going to lead me according to whose plan? His plan in the earth. He's going to lead me according to the gospel. He's going to lead me, or he leads me according to the gospel. He leads me according to his plan in the earth. I must remember it. So the more gospel I have in my mind, the more of God's leading I respond to. The more gospel I have on my lips and I act upon, the more of his leading I have. So I must surround myself with his word. Look at Deuteronomy 11. With his word. So it means the written word is God's leading. You trust that? All right, Deuteronomy 11. I'm just going to read some portions, but you can go back and check them all over again. I'm going to start from verse 18. I'll start from 13. It shall come to pass, if you are acting diligently unto my commandment, which I command you this day, to love the Lord thy God, your God, and to serve him with all your heart and with your soul. Then verse 18. Therefore shall you lay up these words in your heart and in your soul and bind them for a sign upon your hand that they may be as faultless between your eyes. Let's take verse 19 together. Let's go. And you shall teach them your children, speaking of them when thou sit in thy house. Go on. When thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Verse 20. Thou shalt write them upon the doorpost of thy house and upon thy gates. Verse 21. That your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children in the land which the Lord has sworn to the Father to give them as the days of heaven on earth. Hallelujah. So what's he saying? Keep the word of God all around you. That's it. All around you. In other words, it's going to be everywhere around you. I'm not talking about putting the photograph of Jesus and saying, Jesus is the silent listener of every conversation, the end of every... That's not what I'm talking about. If you get in my house, accept the gifts that people give me, or they have my pictures in there, all sorts of pictures, you know. They are in there. But I remember that when you get to my living room then, the first thing you're going to see then was an Arsenal kind of picture. You have government college in my whole position, and also artwork. Some guy came to my house, then I was saying about him. We were saying about him then, and then he came to the house, and he began to counsel me about how to be a good Christian, because he looked at the house, there was nothing to behold. So he said, you know, we have to serve the Lord. You know, because I attended the church service of that church that Sunday. I used to be on the field a lot and preach every Sunday. But that Sunday I was very free. So I just said, let me go fellowship down the road. So I got there. So I did first timers and I filled the forms. I didn't write pastor there. Just put my name and then they came to do follow up. So guy said, okay, yeah, you know. So be a good Christian. I said, yes, sir. He said, make sure you are devoted. I said, yes, thank you, sir. He said, you know, this Christian life is very long. I said, yes, sir. So he said, so are you going to be in church next week? I said, no. He said, after saying yes, sir, to all. I said, I have something to do. He said, no. It's my another time to explain that you don't have something to do on the Lord's day. You see, if you are going to make heaven, it's not just salvation. I said, okay. He said, so have you made up your mind? I said, like I said, I will not be in church on Sunday. He didn't ask, what are you going to be doing? So he went on another sermon. Then he said, finally, but where do you want to go? I said, I'll be preaching. As well as he said, preaching. Are you a pastor? I said, yes. Oh! He began to ask me my experiences. Then later on, he began to ask me Bible questions. Hallelujah. I guess what discouraged him was that he didn't see anything like the blood of Jesus. My case is different. You know, all those things. Sometimes they're embarrassing, you know. You know, and all that. Someone said, my case is different. Which scripture? The whole Bible. Anyway, so when it says put it everywhere, it means that God wants his own word to be your dominant thoughts. Your dominant thoughts. There's nothing shameful about being a fanatical Christian. See, I'm a fanatic of the word. Say it like that now. See, I'm a fanatic of the word. I put it everywhere. It's all over me. Praise God. It's all over you. I'm a fanatic of the word. I'm a fanatic of God's word. You know, as a younger Christian, we used to carry our pocket Bibles everywhere. Everywhere. And we used to challenge ourselves. In fact, myself and my friends said, anytime I see you without your New Testament Bible, you give me 50 scriptures. I can choose the subject. Salvation, righteousness. So everybody carried their pocket Bible. It was a challenge. You get it? At some point, we say, you know what? How many scriptures can you quote on healing? You know, yes, it was useful, but it helped us to keep the word always in your mind. In your mind. On your mind. Some people can describe movies and say, so he now stopped. When he stopped, there was one cat that came. Cato. You saw cats in the film. Cats. In fact, after that, remember the first person I told you earlier on? Who saw the woman? The person just came briefly. He called him. When he called him, that phone was green. Inside. Hey! You guys, talk about the lyrics. Beyonce. Rap. DMX. Jesse DMX. Bell Biv DeVoe. You know? You say, LL Cool J. You rap. Give us scripture. Say, for God's sake, love the world. Why will you not go to a mountain to pray? You deserve to go to a mountain. When you want God to talk to you, he's not talking to you. Go and listen to LL Cool J. You will meditate. You know, even on Facebook,
If I put out something on doctrine, people say it's too long. But if I start with somebody's story, they will read everything. The woman who suffered so much but is now a billionaire. 20 pages. But when they see scripture, apostle and say, oh, just compress it. Say it in a few words, everything, just say something. No one came to me. He said, I mean, you can't hold this book, it's too long. He said, peeps, that's how I say, peeps don't have that time, peeps. He said, interestingly, he's an old friend of mine, I've known him for over 30 years. He said, peeps don't know, just summarize this thing. He said, even the, he mentioned some pastors, they don't understand this thing. I said, woe betide me if I do it. Peeps will read, though.
Somebody told me, he said, he went to church in Abuja to pick up his books. These are God, and understand it. And when he was going, people said, what is this? He said, books. What books? Christian books. For what? You know, the upcoming ones are bigger than that. So I'm saying, God, what are we going to do about it? We are going to read it. Hallelujah.
So he says, surround yourself. Surround yourself. You watch movies, you remember it. You remember people's names, birthdays. So you know everything. But when it comes to the word, you forget it. Why did he tell that to Israel? Because they often forgot. Forgetting doesn't mean they don't know it. They don't just have it in their mind. Other things dominate their thoughts. In Exodus 14, they even wanted to go back to Egypt. Hallelujah. Numbers 14, same thing. So I must feed on the gospel all the time. I must feed on the gospel. As a younger Christian, we have the Walkman. There's this red, okay, only Pastor Lano knows one. There's this red tape. I started using that red tape in 1991. It died in the year 2000. It died. We took it to the guy that will repair it. He said, Egbo. I'm taking the same tape player to the guy. He had repaired it. So he now says, don't you have money for another one? I said, there's something about this tape player. I mean, it's such a blessing. He said, you're only being stingy. Go and get another one. He said, it can't work again. I said, oh, you know, because I always play. My dad knows it, my mom knows that tape player. So I just play all day. Play Brother Hagin tapes all day. All day. Just sometimes I'm not even listening, I'm just playing it. Just all day. Surrounding yourself with God's word. Why? Because that is how God leads you. This service, what I'm saying right now, is how he leads you. It's how you know he will never leave you nor forsake you. Because he's still talking to you. Feed on the word often. Always. Don't make it just a Sunday service thing. Make it every day. Feed on the word. Don't forget, God leading in the earth is tied to his purpose on earth. God doesn't lead you outside his plan for salvation. For the whole earth. Don't forget that part. So feed on the gospel often. Say, I feed on the gospel? Very often. Okay, quickly. Look at Romans chapter 8. You know, we do forget. We do. When we see life storms. When we have other ideas. We do forget. Life storms. When we see challenges of life. People will bring their suggestions. Even Jesus. Pay attention. Jesus, Son of God, I believe in you. Satan tempted him. No, Satan get liver. Not that I mean liver. let's check it out. He tempted him. How much more you and I? We're pressed on every side. We're prone to take decisions outside the word. And sometimes we take it and they work in our own way. Because before human beings we have succeeded. But in God we have failed. Human beings can applaud you. Years ago, I must have said this on Wednesday, I think. Okay, I taught in the meeting, I preached on Friday in Ibadan for another ministry. You know, I had a trip to leave the country some 22 years ago, and I went to preach in Southern Africa, in your country. I preached in your country then. Where were you then? He's from Zimbabwe, all right. So I preached in his country, and I had great times, you know. But before then, as I landed, the Lord asked me a question. It's good to know when he talks to you. Did I ask you to come? And I said, no. My friends told me to come. Or a particular minister. And he said, no. Go back to Nigeria. I'll open the door myself. And I just became obedient. Went back to Nigeria. All the tapes they gave me to take with me. The videotapes. I said they should hold it. I didn't want to have a memory of the meetings. They were great meetings. I preached 11 churches in 1 week. There was a particular day. There were 3 churches trying to have me preach for them that day. So I said, anyone who gets his car here first. It was that great. But the Lord said, no, I didn't ask you to come. So I came back to Nigeria. I now met my own padis, my friends. One of them said, Shegun, you are welcome. You know, as you went to South Africa, the Lord told me that you can see Shegun. Shegun is walking in my purpose for his life. I just knew, I won't trust this guy. he's following earthly success. I knew he was wrong. People can applaud you, and God didn't ask you to do it. Praise the Lord. And just as he said, last World Changers Conference, I think about 4 or 5 nations from Southern Africa were there. And we did not advertise the meeting, just like God said. Praise the Lord. Are you still out there? That's the way he works things. Sometimes people will go, yeah. Sometimes you are found doing the wrong thing and you will succeed. And it's not in line with his word or his plan. No. And we have a lot of teachings in the body of Christ that glorify your desires. When you pray, it is your desire. Whatever you do, it is your desire. And you know we can have desires. How many know you can have desires? Oh, Omo. If I tell you my desire, you'll run away. I thought pastor is all spiritual. You must think so highly of me. You get it? It can be left to you. Left to you, you lead yourself astray. Salvation was not left to you. Hallelujah. God identified your need for you. You didn't know what it was. And then you believe that was your need. I always say that in salvation, God solves a problem he identified. So, here we are. We must learn to feed on the word a lot. Not on our own desires. We must abandon a Christianity that worships our desires, our ambitions, and the one that makes our desires and ambitions subject to God's own. So Romans chapter 8, are you learning something? Verse 14 says, as many as are led, led by the Spirit of God. He says, these are the oios of God. They are the sons of God. Led. Led from where? Led from the flesh into the Spirit. Led from the world into the kingdom of God. Led from the power of Satan unto God. He says they are the sons of God. Hoios. A word used for Israel in carrying out God's purpose and plan in the earth. He says, for we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. Verse 15. But the spirit of adoption. Euthesia. Same word, Exodus 4:22. Israel is my son. Israel is my firstborn. Let them go to the wilderness to worship me, to serve me. So when we are called firstborn, or we are called utesia, adopted sons, or adoption, the adoption.
We're referring to God's purpose in the earth. Then verse 16, for the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are unlike Israel, we are His children by the Spirit. So God's leading has to do with His purpose in the earth. That is why we are called the Ohios of God, the sons. The Otesia. God therefore leads me to fulfill not my will, but His will. Say, God leads me to fulfill not my will, but to fulfill His own will. Say it again, God leads me not to fulfill my will, but to fulfill His own will. So, that is the leading of the Spirit in a very simple way. The moment you are asking, is that what God is saying? It means you have not been feeding on the Word enough. When you find Christians not knowing who is talking to them, at any point in time, they are not familiar with the written word. If you are familiar with the written word, no voice will mislead you. Because you know the written word. One of the most effective ways in knowing God's voice is to be well taught the word. When you are well taught the word, a good local church, as the good local church, praise God. How many of you believe us? This is a good local church. Yeah. You'll never find us say, come to me and let me tell you what God is saying. Even though that can happen as we prophesy and speak by the Spirit, but we teach you the word. Yeah. So the moment you are trying to think, is this God, is it not God? That means you have not been feeding on the gospel. You have been feeding on junk. On junk. Junk food. And you see, people who will not spend time with the word for 3 hours will spend time queuing up to see a prophet. 3 hours. But I know church, I'm told, I hope it's not true, but if it's true, it's sad, that before you see the prophet, you pay money. Then you pay money for the card. Then the prophet is going to give you water. And you pay money for the water. You're going to pay money for his pool where you're going to wash your problems. Now I'm thinking, why should you go through all that? For what? To have a word from God. And what is he going to say? It is well. Is that not all he's going to say eventually? Praise the Lord. You get it? So, therefore, if God is leading me right now by his Spirit, according to the written word, just like Israel, I have to remember. I have to keep it in mind and in my words. Hallelujah. Say, I'm led by God. Come on, you didn't say it well. Say, I'm led by God into his purpose and plan. I'm led by God away from my own desires into his own desires. I'm led by God to fulfill his purpose and plan in the earth. How often should I say this one? Once a week? I remember it often. It's on my lips all this, right? I say it all the time. I mention it all the time. Praise God. Now, quickly go to John 2, verse 25. John 2, 25. 22, sorry. Excuse me. When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered what he had said this unto them, and they believed the scriptures, or the scripture, and the word which Jesus said. They remembered. Now, this is again the same word. It's not that they forgot, then it came back to their memory. Mm-mm. They now kept it in mind. They now spoke about it. Because what he said there about the temple being his body, Peter preached about it later. Paul preached about it. That is to remember. Now, that word mimnesko, M-I-M-N-E-S-K-O, is equally used for God. Luke 1:54. He had opened his servant in remembrance of his mercy. It says God remembered in his mercy. Doesn't mean he forgot. Luke 1:72. To perform the mercy to the fathers and remember his holy covenant. The same word, mimnesco. In Luke 16:25, Abraham said to the rich man in that parable, remember, son. He thought that he forgot. It means, Let your mind go to this. Fix your mind on this. In Luke 23 and 42. Lord, remember me, that malefactor on the cross. Remember me, Luke 23:42, when you get into your kingdom. You know, when he said remember me, it's not don't forget me. It's mention me. Mention me. Have me in mind. Let me be part of your purpose and plan. In Luke 24 and verse 6, he is not here. Remember how he said to you when he was yet in Galilee. Luke 24 verse 6. Luke 24 verse 8, they remembered his words. That means they gave it first place. They gave it first place. So, to remember God's word means to do what? Means to do what? In your mind and in your words. Does it mean to talk about it? Sing about it? Pray about it? Very good. So in John 2 verse 17, his disciples remembered that it was written, the zeal of thy fathers or thy house has eaten me up. That means they simply put that scripture in mind. And John 12:16. Watch this one, it's critical. These things understood not his disciples at the first. But when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they these things that were written of him, and they had done these things unto him. So to remember means to put it first place, to accord it respect and regard. To see the way it is. Now, in John 14, verse 26. So I have a responsibility in the leading of the Spirit of God to put the word where? First place. First place. Before you ask someone to confirm anything to you, or to ask someone to tell you what you think God should be saying, put the word of God first place. In John 14 and verse 26. Let's take it together. John 14, 26. If you are there, say amen. Let's go. I'll wait for you. Let's go again. Come on. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatever I have said to you. He will bring all things to your remembrance. That word, allos parakletos, one beside you who fulfills the work of a helper, a teacher, an instructor, a guide. Say, I have a helper, I have a teacher, an instructor, and a guide. What is his role? To talk to you about engineering? Science? No. About what? The words of Jesus. He will bring you, cause you to remember. Let's see quickly a few things. That word allos parakletos is in John 14:16-17, John 15:26, and John 16:6-8. It is the redemptive gift of Christ, the gift of his sacrifice, the seal of our salvation, the work of the Father in the Son, referred to as the allos parakletos. 1 John 2:2. 1 John 2:1 says, little children, I write these things to you that you sin not. If any man sin, he has an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Advocate with the Father. The word parakletos. So why did Jesus use allos parakletos? The word another there means the same. Which means, like Brother Hagin would tell us, and a lot of outstanding teachers, the written word and the Spirit agree. What they're saying is, there's nothing the Spirit will say that is not written. He will bring to your remembrance the things I said. Hence we said, God's leading is according to the written word. Or let's say, according to the gospel. Let's say, according to his purpose and plan on earth. Now look at that word he will bring to your remembrance. It's the Greek word, hypomimnesko. You know, we said mimnesko is the word to remember. To put first place. To have an understanding of. To have above your thoughts, plans and actions. Now he says he will cause you to remember. That's the word he will bring to your remembrance. Or he will bring things to your remembrance. Hypomimnesko. He will cause you to put your mind on it. He will make you put your mind on it. In Luke 22:61, you find that word there. Luke 22:61. Peter remembered the word of the Lord. 2 Timothy 2:14. 2 Timothy 2:14. Of these things, put them in remembrance. Put them in remembrance. Titus 3:1. Titus 3:1. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities. Titus 3:1. 2 Peter 1:12. 2 Peter 1:12. I will not negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things. So the Spirit of God who lives in us causes us to put the Word of God first place. In His words, in His phrases, in speaking to us in audible ways, is to put our attention on the written Word. So, every inward witness, every audible voice, every vision puts my attention where? On the written word. On the gospel. Therefore, I have a duty to fill my mind with the written word and the gospel. Could we go to Proverbs 4:20? Are you learning something? Are you learning something? Proverbs 4:20. Again, this is a father to a son. Just like spiritual growth. Proverbs 4:20. Paul calls it instruction unto righteousness, 2 Timothy 3:16, padiae, a father instructing a son, Ephesians 6:4, Hebrews 12:5. So, Proverbs 4:20, my son, attend to my words, incline thine ears to my sayings, let them not depart from your eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart. For their life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Now let me ask you, where is the seat of God's leading and direction? Our minds, our thoughts, and our reasoning. So he says here, my son, attend to my words. Attend to my words. The word there is quashab. Q-A-S-H-A-B. It means put it first place. Honor it. Attend to my words. Interestingly, the Hebrew slants it a bit. He uses the word dabar. Dabar. Dabar is for what you can call summarize everything together. Attend to it. Incline your ear to my sayings. Everything put together, which we can call the Logos of God, will now come back to you in speech. So, the written word comes to me in the spoken word. The written word comes to me in the spoken word. The written word comes back to me in the spoken word. Therefore, what do I do? One, I'll close here. Put the word first place. Put the word first place. Put it first place. Above your own thoughts. What about choosing to put the word on your heart before you pray? Before you pray. Put the word first place. Brother Hagin gave that illustration that blessed me too. For example, you're going to assuming there's a long holiday, maybe a 2 weeks holiday, or just before they did the lockdown. And then
They said they are going to lock down the whole country for, let's say, 3 months. And they say, everybody go stock your house up and all that. So you're going to the bank, and the bank is going to close by 2 p.m. And then you see an old friend of yours. And assuming those days, they're going to, you know, cancel internet banking and all that. You have to go and withdraw the cash. See an old friend of yours who you hadn't seen for 40 years. So you see him just at the gate of the bank. Ah, Shegelu! Or is it, let me make my own nickname in school. Pressman! Or Radical! Ah, Bodhi, are you there? And it's 3:50. Okay, 2 o'clock. 1:59. Oh no! As I'm greeting him, I say, ah, Pashike! But I'm going inside, right? I'm going to say, how now, your number, my number, I'll go inside. Because I'm thinking, if I go and attend him, they shut the door. I don't even think he has money the way he's looking. So, like we say in Nigeria, I give myself brain. Imagine getting home, and then there's no food in the house. Daddy, there's no food there. It was my friend, though, Fashike. You look at your daddy, I hope you're fine. You went to greet Fashike, and you had the bank. So you have put the bank first place above greeting your friend. Say, I put the word first place. Many times we're tempted to do something else. We're tempted to, after people say that, when I feel bad like that, I feel bad, I just watch a movie. That's an insight. Anytime I'm feeling low, you're feeling very low, you want to watch a movie. So is it called to, you want to act? When I feel just like, I call my mumsy. Mumsy. Mumsy? You know the way I'm, the mumsy. Omola. I just felt peace. What did you, you felt what? Nothing. You just feel good. Or you just call a friend. Then I say, don't worry. Go down. You know, life just happens. And you know, we did. I say, oh, thank you, God. Thank you. You see, it's serious. Recognizing the inward weakness. Let me watch Avengers. I put the word first place. Number two, I meditate upon the word. I learned it from E.W. Kenyon, then Brother Hagin. Meditate upon the word. To meditate means to fix your thoughts on it. Is that the word remember? Fix your thoughts. When you meditate, how you will know is that you are talking about it. You're talking about it. I'm led in this life. I'm not confused. I take the right decisions. Hallelujah. Number three, you speak God's word. Speak God's word. Speak God's word. Confess God's word. Some of us, you need to lock your door. Amen. Put up your devices. Sit down and begin to speak God's word all day. Speak God's word. It's good for you to hear your pastor preach the word, but it's best for you to hear it from your own mouth. Put it back on your lips. And lastly, instantly obey the voice of the Spirit. Say, I'm led by God. Say, I'm led by God. I put the word first place. Amen. Let's pray in tongues. Pray in tongues.